So what to talk about today, huh?
It's a great question. I'm gonna give a warning. My brain is fried today.
Ooh.
So I'll do my best.
if I may, actually, this is an interesting topic, which did we talk about this before? Privilege and self-care.
No, but like what a topic.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, right?
Like that's luxury.
What does it mean to have time for self-care? I think you and I kind of talked about it.
You and me talked about it a little bit.
But that recording went kaput.
Well, and I love talking about self-care with clients because I think we often consider it to sometimes be like these luxurious things. But when I talk to clients about self-care, I'm like, these are things that will build resilience. It's not necessarily like things that we necessarily have to have time for, but it's things like, are you getting at least 8 hours of sleep? Are you making sure that you're eating 3 meals a day? Are you staying hydrated? When we're not sleeping well, when we're hungry, when we're thirsty, when we're dehydrated, we cannot handle things as well as we normally would.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
No, I wanted to picture it.
No, because I think like that, then our body is dysregulated. We are not able to our needs are not being met. And so when our needs aren't being met and we're emotionally aroused or like psychologically aroused, like our nervous system is like freaking out because, you know, we've got trauma or we're depressed or we're anxious. Like it's going to get worse if we're tired, hungry, and dehydrated.
And I love that you say that because a lot of times clients say like, I don't want to do this because when I'm mindful, I actually feel it more.
Yeah.
I don't want to, right?
Yeah. Well, that or like, I think hearing it like that of like building resilience makes me feel kinder towards it. Because I think in a lot of ways when you're rushing and you're busy and you're overwhelmed, I feel guilt trying to do some of that stuff. Because when you think of like little treat culture and you think of like, oh, I just need to do something.
Just a little sweet treat.
Just a little sweet treat. Just a little something. A goodie. I'm just, you know, like it feels like a reward.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel like you deserve a reward right now because like whatever you're doing or maybe you're not doing, when you think of it as like resilience, I'm like, oh yeah, like if I'm not ready to go, I'm already burnt, then I'm going to keep burning it lower and I'm going to have less of an ability to handle this. Because later on, once you've eaten and you drink water, you're like, man, that was wild. That was wild of me. That was crazy.
But we end up learning how to tolerate it more, right? So that's the interesting thing about not giving ourselves self-care. What does the research tell us, right? That we build up a tolerance for pain. But what that means to our nervous system is that we have to experience greater amount of pain before
we pay attention.
Right.
Well, I remember when we went to Big Island and we're doing that mental health
fireside.
Yeah. And I remember a dad in the audience asking us about that because we were talking about self-care and the importance for our mental health. And he's like, I don't have time for that. Like, I've got a wife. I've got a kid. They need me. And I remember us talking about how, like, you cannot afford to not work, like, to not care about yourself because your family will suffer as a result. Like if you are worried about being able to support and be there for your family, then you have to take care of yourself so that you can show up in your best way for others.
Yeah, because if you're going to be burnt out and go, it's probably going to turn into a very different interaction than if you were like full, rested, ready, especially because it's with little kids at least too. Nuts. Kids are nuts. Loving them. Love them.
And I appreciate you saying kids, though, because they will reflect how dysregulated you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so it's like it's an interesting kind of tug of war of like, I know I want to be available and I want to be there for my family. But the other side goes like, well, but I cannot be selfish and I cannot take the time. But if you don't.
Our kids learn that there's no time.
Mm.
Well, and I think that we have to reframe that, like, that idea of this being selfish.
Yeah.
Because it actually, when we are intentional about the way that we are taking care of ourselves, when we are intentional about, like, I am doing this for myself, yes, but it's so that I can show up in the way that my family needs me to, or the way that I want to show up with my family, that I want them to, I want my children and my spouse and the people that are important in my life to get the best of me.
Yeah.
So I don't think that that is selfish.
I don't think either, but I'm just thinking of,
but
like,
I think it's often,
yeah.
Yeah. It's often in portrayed that way.
Yeah.
Right.
And feels that way in some cases.
Well, I hear it, right? Like, especially for folks who are very much engaged in the codependency of the only way that I can find value is by giving of myself. And so it might feel actually unsafe to not give, to rest.
Yeah.
Well, not only unsafe, but as we work in highly religious communities, sinful.
Oh.
Ooh.
Say something about that.
I mean that's something that I see often in my highly religious clients, particularly female religious clients, that they feel like that is their purpose as women, to continually give and have no concern or thought for what they need.
And then the men in this culture assume that they don't have to put in work, and then they benefit from that. And they feel like, yes, I can do self-care. Why is it that you're so stressed out, my partner? Right? What's that reaction, Rachel? If we could have a video
if there
recording.
Was a visual.
Say something.
No, I appreciate that.
Say it.
I appreciate that a man is saying this.
Of course. Come on now.
No, but I think that this is something, like, working in a religious community, being a religious person, seeing this myself as a religious woman, but very rarely having it validated by a religious man. And so hearing you say that, it's like, well, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's what's happening in these communities. But at the same time, feeling like, well, no one cares about that.
Yeah.
Like, we women keep talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
We know what happens.
We're either talking about it or we're talking about not talking about it, because there's, like, that divide.
Sure.
Within that as well. And I think and there's, like, an internal conflict, too, because I think you do, you want to be, at least, like, when I think about our relationships in general, like, if we just take out of, like, just for a second, that piece. If I feel like my relationship is built on being with you and caring for you and being a part of you, when I stop doing that, I feel not as close to you anymore. And that hurts. And so trying to find, realizing that there's, like, a new way to connect is hard. Especially when then you can be judged for it. Because, well, why are you working so hard to do that when, like, you do need this and people benefit and it's a good thing. It's such a good thing.
And if you have one of those partners who is like, why are you so stressed? Like, that's just gonna, like,
yeah.
It's like
the cycle,
right?
No, facts. Yes. And, like, not seeing that extra load that isn't that invisible mental load of all the things.
Oh, it's visible, right? But for the privileged, it's invisible because they don't see it, because they don't have to deal with it.
I was gonna say it's not always visible to the people that are in the system, though, men and women.
I agree,
and that's what's infuriating for me. Is that like I can't unsee it.
Uh-huh.
Right. I mean, once you see it, how are you supposed to not? How do you not see it in everything?
Right.
So as we're having this conversation right now about this, then if we're talking about self-care, then if we're going to be a good partner, that means we have to hold space for our partner to have self-care. If we're going to be a good community member, we're going to allow folks to say no to us. And if we can lift where we stand, so to speak, with them, and we can take a load off of them so that they can self-care. Mm-hmm. I think to me, this is the decolonized way of looking at self-care, because it is so individualistically driven that I will do it by myself. But what we're talking about, it takes a community.
Yeah.
It takes everyone in awareness and having very much insight and ownership of what role they take or make or do to contribute to the burnout of those whose work often is invisible because of sexism, because of patriarchy.
Because of racism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that, like, this is where, like, part of that community, that collectivistic lens, is we have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to accept that someone else's experience might be different, but I can still meet them there. Mm. Even like, I am a white woman. I understand what sexism is, but I don't understand racism in that same way that women of color experience.
Yeah.
That doesn't, it's in the listening. And I think that's where, like, as a community, we can meet people where they need to be met to be able to offer them that space to have self-care, for them to be able to build that resilience and be understanding of that through listening to their experiences.
Well, I think sometimes too, like, being able to create space, sometimes that can be like taking on a burden they don't want to put down because they don't know who's going to carry it. Like, that's how it is for me anyway. I'm always afraid to not do something because I'm like, well, who's going to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or I'm going to feel guilty that someone has to do this because I should be able to do this. And if I was at peak condition because I was taking care of myself, I would be able to do it. So now it feels like because I wasn't taking care of myself, now someone else has to. But if the community is there and showing up, then it's a sign of love for me, not only to have you lift it for me, but for me to let you lift it.
Yeah.
Because if I don't let you help me when I know you want to, how is that me letting you love me?
Mm. Well, so, I mean, it's so obvious, but it's so hard.
Yeah.
And I think I often talk to clients about this, and they're like, I don't want people to see me as needing help. I don't want people to see me as, like, not capable or dependable.
I mean, yeah, same. But at the end of the day, I think it's more, I'm afraid that you don't love me enough to do it, so I don't want to ask you.
Sure.
Oh. So it's like, or not, you know, like, but if we really dig into it, I am afraid of those things, but why am I afraid of not being capable before? Why do I have to be capable?
Mm.
Because that's where my worth comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Or the system is not healthy.
And I think it's like an incredible experience when you do let someone pick that up for you, when you do let other people help. Because I think it allows you to see, oh, people can love me in this way.
Yeah.
People can pick up what I drop, and it's like, it's okay.
Love is not usefulness.
Oh. Say it again.
Love is not usefulness.
Let's make a t-shirt about that one.
Right there. No, it's not. It's not only all of those things, you know? Like, I think you can always, you know, balance in all the things. Balance in our relationships, balance in our communities, balance in our partnerships. This is the same. It's not that I can't show up for you this way, because that is a wonderful way to show love and give love and receive love. But if that's all I'm doing, it becomes working for something that I can't earn, because you don't earn love like that. You don't earn love at all. And when you get stuck in that space, that's when it becomes hurtful to let people help take care of you. And when you finally do it, like, even if you just do it a little bit, like a half-assed, I'm just kind of doing it. It feels so good. And I think once you can feel it a little bit, you feel safe and you're more willing to try more and bigger things.
It's unknown. Mm-hmm. It's unfamiliar. So that's scary.
And you can handle it. So why would you change?
Right. But then when it starts to become familiar, comfortable.
Do it while you can try, or you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
As I'm hearing this, right, like this kind of shift of mind, shift of, in some ways, like, your worth and value, or at least how you measure yourself. I think there's a nuance of self-care in that, right? That maybe part of self-care is actually taking time to reflect on your values. That's what I'm hearing right now.
I will never forget a time in my life during COVID when I got super depressed. I was not well. And my worth is built on, like, being productive, being dependable, saying yes and getting stuff done. And for, like, the first time in my life, I was not functional. I could not be dependable. And I had to look at where I was like, oh, I feel like crap right now because I'm not being able to meet these things that bring that are where I get my worth. And I really have to take a close look at that. And I had to say, am I still a person of worth if I can't get out of bed today? If I can't go to class today? If I can't see my clients today? if I have to say no, am I still worthy? Am I still a person of worth?
Oh.
And that was extremely difficult. And I was angry for months.
Mm.
And I am so grateful for that experience because it really taught me a lot about my value and about my worth. But Bong, I want to check in. You're having a serious reaction that I want to know more about.
Yeah, I'm just sad. I'm just sad that you suffered through that. I'm sad that I suffered through that.
Mm.
I'm sad that we took a hit as a world during COVID. And it took a lot from us. It took lives. It took energy. And it tested us. And I'm just like feeling empathy and care for you.
Mm.
While feeling proud of your ability to face that. Because to really face pain in that way is where the change and the care happens. And so, yeah, I'm in tears. I'm feeling sad, but yet so connected to you. I appreciate you.
Thanks. I mean, none of us got out of COVID unscathed in some way. You know, I think it did take a lot from us. And we'll never get those things back. While at the same time, I think we all learned a lot at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm thinking about COVID in terms of self-care and time that we lose or we lost.
Mm.
I didn't get to say goodbye to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
It was like overnight. It was like, get your stuff and get out of here. Right? I remember it very clearly. I had the thought, I need to get my sound system and all of the things that I was kind of had physically in the space out of the university to get home, because that was about the same time when my kiddo was
mm-hmm.
being born.
And because I didn't take time for self-care and to maintain those relationships before COVID, I didn't have contact with those people. And then we lost that contact. We lost that opportunity to be in relationship. And the reason I'm saying this is because if we do not apply self-care, you will feel the regret that I felt of not being able to say goodbye or be in contact with people and not knowing how to contact them anymore. Because if we don't take care of that relationships now, how are we going to take care of it during an emergency?
Mm.
And I just feel sad. I feel sad because even if I could turn back time, I don't think myself at that moment in crisis knew that I wasn't doing self-care in the way that I needed to.
Mm.
But what do we do, right? What do we take from this and how do we move forward?
Well, I'm having this thought that, I mean, we're mental health professionals. We know all the self-care things. We know how to build resilience. And sometimes that is still not enough. We are all still human. Sometimes the things that are going on in life, even if we are taking care of ourselves, it's still not going to be enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's okay. I mean, it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is painful. That is, there is sorrow and suffering there.
Yeah.
And that's like a part of the human experience that we can't get out of.
Yeah.
And so I just want to normalize that for people.
Yeah. Because like, I think when you're saying that too, like that's just illustrating that like even if you're not going to have enough because it's just so much,
mm-hmm.
any care is good for you.
Absolutely.
Something is better than nothing always in that regard because we never know what's going to be happening and what's going to be going on and when we are going to have the time or when we are going to be able to do the thing. And so big, small, deep, light, like we gotta be conscious and intentional about that so that when we can't do anything about the suffering, we have what we need to make it through. until we can get up again and until we can support each other and have more.
Yeah. I you know, my mind always wanders and like looks at it from another perspective. That's just the way that I've lived my life. And as I'm hearing this right now, I'm like, you know, the interesting thing about it, you probably wouldn't need self-care if everyone in the community was just caring anyway.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hearing, right, during all of this. It's like, yeah, your efforts is going to yield what it's going to yield. And that those are the moments that we as a community should step up with each other.
Because it's going to fall short at some point.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just part of humanity.
Yeah. And I guess if we look at it right that way, we always try this podcast to leave like an invitation.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess I'm curious, has y'all been in this? I feel like I've often give the invitation. What invitation would y'all want to give to the listeners out there?
I think I want to encourage people to think about what's going to build resiliency in their lives.
Mm.
So that they then can build their resilience, so they can start building that community, so they can start looking out for others. Hey, I'm taking care of myself, and this has allowed me to be able to reach out to others. How can you take care of yourself then, community member? How can you also start to feel the benefits of self-care, of building resilience?
Mm. I like that. Kiona?
Well, I was thinking along that line, but kind of on the opposite end. I want to challenge anybody that feels ready, ask for help for something that you don't want to ask for. Nothing like big. If it's like think of something that feels appropriate for the challenge that you're trying to experience. But I'd love it if you guys would ask for help from someone. Because while I've been up here and we've been talking about this, I've been thinking about how my parents are at home. My dad's been suffering from a stroke. And recently, some old friends from the family moved back close to us. And my dad hates asking, refuses to ask for help, is struggling, needing help. And these family friends came over and didn't make him ask, but sat with him until he was ready to just talk about the struggle, and then took care of him for a couple hours and just did the thing. And he felt secure enough to go rest and stop messing around and putting his health at risk because he was so anxious. And that's hard. It's hard to just say, I need help, even if it's small. And so if you feel like you're doing well or you want to try to kind of challenge yourself, I say ask for help for something.
Mm.
I like that.
I was like deferring to y'all and I love what y'all said, but then I'm having this other thought. Sorry.
Give it, share.
Sorry.
Options.
My invitation is to look in your community and be the person that allows others to be able to do their self-care. In other words, don't shame people for taking a nap.
Mm.
Right?
Or for saying no.
Right.
Yeah. Celebrate
or
that.
Or for rescheduling.
Right? Like, be respectful, folks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what they're going through. And so be that person that allows.
Make the space.
Right? Allows. Yeah, I'm sure we can come up with a whole bunch more, but yeah.
I think that's good.
Well.
I think those are some good invitations.
I guess we should take care of ourselves too then, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe. I gotta drink water.